B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
The Ronda Rousey that the internet wants is finally here. Fastlane made a sharp turn into being an interesting show. And there's a lot of other news in this week's episode of Wrestling Inside the Ropes, which you can find on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com. And in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. I can't even get the open out in time.
It's all good.
Mike, we've had a lot of twists and turns, and we have Bruce Pritchard to thank for all of them, because the last 2 weeks of WWE programming has been excellent, in my opinion. How have you viewed it?
I you know what? For the first time in a long time, I think Monday Night Raw was a better show this week over SmackDown. And not saying SmackDown was a bad show this week, but Raw had the upper hand. And you know, I know that's where WWE looks at as its flagship, more or less, but I think that's a sign of the things to come here going forward, that Raw and SmackDown are going to be head-to-head good quality programming here on out.
And I want to start with Monday Night Raw and kind of the conclusion of Monday Night Raw. I want to start with Ronda Rousey. She's a villain now. She's a super villain. She went from smiling baby face and handing gloves to kids to UFC take no crap fighter Ronda Rousey. The thing that I liked most about this promo, and look, she's still terrible at them, is she used her being booed in her hometown as part of the reason she turned.
Right.
She blamed the fans, which is always easy, but it's something that we kind of sometimes will take for granted, is who are you blaming for it? She's right to blame her fans, but it felt like Ronda wanted to blame Becky Lynch. And what Ronda Rousey needs to understand about pro wrestling is that Becky Lynch got over because she worked hard to, and she got over organically because the fans were there for her. They watched her grow up in the system, and here she is in a prominent position to be successful, and the story that they told wasn't good enough, so they got behind Becky more. And then Becky sold merchandise that was cool, which is part of it, and the fans bought that merchandise. So Ronda's kind of a victim, a villain by circumstance, because WWE created Becky Lynch because the fans created Becky Lynch, and Becky Lynch sold merchandise. And here's Ronda, who they want to smile all the time, and it just doesn't work because Becky's their own. In the same way that the audience went for Becky as a face, Charlotte upped her game and turned slowly into a villain. And she upped her violence level. And you know what, Mike, this is called? This is called competition. Competition to be the best. And Cody Rhodes said it to me years ago. He said that while wrestling is a predetermined work sport, there is so much competition. And when you're in that room, it's more real than anybody actually realizes. So, Mike, what did you think of the Ronda turn and all that?
Did you say that was Ronda's hometown? Did you say Philadelphia? Because that's where they were, Philadelphia.
So it started when the Staples Center booed her.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
That's when it started.
Got it. Okay. All right. So, but however, though, that was her debut last year in Philadelphia at the Royal Rumble, if you recall.
Correct. And she got the shock pop.
That's right. That was huge. So, yes. Yeah. I thought it was brilliant. And, you know, for those behind the scenes here, we'll share a little secret of the pros here, that yes, Jimmy and I actually have to record this for the second time because...
Oh, no, I was going to do this at the end, but go ahead.
Oh, sugar, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, bottom line, we had it ready to go during Raw on Monday and, you know, the whole heel turn, but...
So we'll tell you, we started recording the show
yeah.
and we centered the show around them vacating the title.
Right, right.
And we're like, what does this mean for Ronda? Wow, she's got, why isn't she? And we were total fanboys of the story. And
no, but it made sense.
That's why there was no podcast on Monday night like we had promised, and we're now recording this on Wednesday night.
But we're doing it for the people and for you guys, and thank you for all listening. But, you know, the most important thing here with Ronda, I thought, I had that feeling during that particular show that we recorded that she was going to be turned heel. And I just felt it the whole time. Like, you have too much good for Becky Lynch from the fans. They're all getting behind her. The wild card really is Charlotte when you think about it. And then you do need that top villain. And right there, Ronda Rousey. I love it. I think it's fantastic. So much heat on her. To see her tweets too with her shirt, Boo the Woo. What was the other one against the man?
Ronda did not create the Boo the Woo. That was Becky Lynch and a friend of hers, Kim.
But she is tweeting that out though today.
Well, right, because she steals things.
Exactly. She steals things. She has the heat on her. She knows it's working. The Twitter war with her and Becky Lynch over the last 7 days has been brilliant. And there's some real heat there, not on Twitter, but behind the scenes stuff. And it's actually working really well to what we're seeing. And from what I saw, those right-hand punches, the attack right there on Becky Lynch during Monday Night Raw at the tail end of it, I'm like, holy cow. Damn the man, by the way. Damn the man. I thought, oh, my God, she actually may knock her out because there is some legitimate heat right there. So this is the best thing that can happen because it's in the end, yes, we do know that it's a work, but there is some natural hate right there for both characters.
Well, I think what happened is Ronda worked herself into a shoot.
Of course she did.
And that can happen. That absolutely can happen because she comes from the world of authentic fighting.
Right.
As opposed to WWE, which is predetermined scripted fighting.
Right.
There is a detail that I really liked about the Ronda beat down on Becky.
Yep.
And that was Becky never actually tapped out in the arm bar.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte was lurking around the ring where Ronda had to make sure she wasn't going to get jumped by Charlotte.
Yep.
And that's a little detail that protects Ronda's armbar finish and it protects Becky.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a little detail that if you're watching closely enough, they're doing damage on Becky, but there's Charlotte that's protecting Becky and protecting Ronda by not having Becky tap out and, you know, not having Becky in the armbar for so long that she has to tap out because her character is thus never giving up, even though she gave up to Asuka at the Rumble, but we were supposed to forget that. I do want to share with you this.
Yeah.
I asked somebody who gets a check from WWE if Vince McMahon would have Charlotte go over at WrestleMania.
Go over?
Go over. In other words, win the match between Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And this person replied, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think they're going to have Charlotte win no matter what.
Vince is
that big into her.
Who said that last week?
I don't remember show to show.
Right there. I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte wins.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm telling
either.
You right now. I think that's she's the wild card. You know, the favorite is Becky. You know, I think everyone's thinking that, yes, she has to win. But I really think that it sets up more possibility that you have Charlotte win and boom, that just opens up.
Well,
a
Mike,
huge...
I mean, if you're asking me to make a prediction, I'm going to pick Charlotte because I pick Charlotte every time because
it's my dark horse.
I'm a Charlotte honk, right?
Yeah, but that's my dark horse, but I'm going to go Becky though. But still, I would not be shocked if Charlotte wins.
But that's different than picking her and rooting for her like I do. So
I'm not saying I'm not rooting for her.
Being the honk that I am. This excites me that there is somebody who gets a check from WWE that thinks that Charlotte is going to win no matter what.
So,
but being objective,
if that's your last match of the night, though, think about that.
And we've discussed if it's the main event.
Are you okay
if
with
it's
the fans
not,
going? Are you okay with the fans going home in disgust? They're going to be disgusted. You know.
Well,
that.
They did last year for Brock Lesnar. I was happy that Brock retained.
Yeah, but all right. And then 2 years ago with the Undertaker.
And they went home like, oh, that, yeah, and it's Taker's last match, and we have to show respect, but we're kind of disappointed.
It was bittersweet.
And then 32, like, they had to wake the crowd up at the end of that show.
Right, so...
Because that was just, that was a long main event.
So it was awful. The trend win right now, that's where I could see Charlotte winning.
But if I'm being objective, Mike, and that's what I like to be as a broadcast journalist, I like to be objective, it's the wrong finish, yep. Short term.
Mm-hmm.
It's Becky Lynch's WrestleMania. Yep. And if the women are going on last, Becky has to win. She just has to. That's the short term. That's what that crowd comes to see. And that's what that crowd should go home with, that good feeling that their conquering hero against two villains with all these odds stacked against her has right. won and conquered.
Right.
But look, if Charlotte wins, like, I walk out of that building thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened before.
And
I mean,
that, of course, is the long-term play in that they are creating Charlotte Flair to be the greatest women's wrestler of all time.
And this happened, I mean, I think the best example we can think of that happening was in Boston,
yep.
Hell in a Cell, right?
Yep. Okay. And there's video of me shrieking when Charlotte won and retained against Sasha Banks.
Yeah, and I saw it firsthand. You were like 2 feet away from me. I did. Yes, I can.
I couldn't believe she won, Mike.
That was a shock.
I jumped out of my seat.
Yeah, it was a shock.
Poor Karabas, I think, got an elbow in the jaw because I jumped.
See, I'm indifferent to it. I enjoy Charlotte as a performer. I like her as a person, too, the few interactions I've had with her. So I would be more than happy if she did win. But that's why I think, to your point, with Vince McMahon being such a huge Charlotte honk, I could totally see her winning at WrestleMania in the main event. And it is Becky's event here in the end. But then again, Jimmy, now those two possibilities, they could really throw the curveball at all of us and have Ronda Rousey retain.
I know. So, wouldn't that be something?
Right? I mean, that could happen. I mean, that's... We got to do an odd show with Joe Murray before this.
Oh, yeah. And we'll do that.
This is going to be interesting.
Looking at my calendar, WrestleMania preview show will be like March 23rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, something like that.
Fantastic.
Actually, it can't be the 25th.
No, it's going to have to be like the week after. It have to be like April 2nd or April 3rd.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
For some reason, yeah. But yeah,
it's all good. We'll have fun.
The Joe Murray Show is the highest downloaded show of 2019 for our show.
That a boy, so Joe.
That's what happens when you add the betting aspect.
Over Under Podcast. Go listen to them. They're good.
Yes, they are excellent. Dan yep. Lifshatz and Joe Murray.
Yes.
There was a rumor flying around the internet that John Cena versus Kurt Angle was suggested as a match at WrestleMania. The finish would be Cena beating Angle and Angle being retired. Two things. I dig this match, one. Always have, always will. But I don't think we need to retire Kurt Angle. It muddies some waters that I just don't want to muddy. So I talked to somebody who we both know, someone I would call fabulous. And this person told me that it might be Samoa Joe defending the U.S. title against John Cena at WrestleMania. So first off, congratulations to Samoa Joe.
Absolutely.
I think Joe should have had a run with the WWE championship, and maybe he still will.
Oh, yeah, he will.
But I'm glad that he got this championship, and I hope he has his match with Cena at WrestleMania. When Joe won the title on SmackDown, I jumped out of my chair in my office. I was very excited for Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
But I want to know, Mike, your feelings on the possibility of John Cena versus Kurt Angle or John Cena versus Samoa Joe.
So the Kurt Angle aspect here with him, if it were to be against John Cena, my thought of a potential retirement for Kurt Angle, I think that's going to be Angle's call to say that, yes, I want out. I'm done with WWE. I'm done with the industry. He wants out of his contract, and that's it. And he walks away. However, though, that's where I open up the possibility of, you know, you and I have said this before, Jimmy, that you can walk away, but there's always that possibility you do come back somewhere down the line, i.e. AEW or another organization. So that's a very strong possibility right there for Kurt Angle. We've seen him do it before for TNA, and I could totally see him do it again. But in this scenario, if we are to see Samoa Joe against John Cena, or for that matter, let me finish with the Kurt Angle. John Cena, Kurt Angle, I would be invested in that. That's a good match. I really enjoy both performers. I've always been a Kurt Angle fan. So I'd really be invested in that. And if it is Samoa Joe and John Cena, again, two performers I'm really a big fan of and very pleased for Samoa Joe as the United States champion. I think that's only the beginning of what he's going to get. And yeah, hey, there's his first, I can't believe that's his first ever title in the WWE.
Yeah, because I mean, he was the NXT champion multiple times. In fact, he won it in Lowell, Massachusetts. But
that's right.
I mean, this is a main roster title win. And right, for those who don't think that NXT is a main roster show.
No, but it, in the end, for SmackDown and Raw, this is it.
Yeah.
So he does deserve a good run. And I think he will. That's a foreshadow of what is to come for Samoa Joe. So the road looks good for him ahead, in my opinion.
I 100% hope you're right, Mike. One other thing that just popped into my head.
Yeah.
Is and I would be for this, is Samoa Joe versus Kurt Angle.
That'd be awesome, too. I would love
it. Granted, it's 10 years, 11 years, something like that, after Joe and Angle had a great match, a very different match up in Lowell.
Yep.
But I'd be into that.
That'd be awesome. You know, and again, two great performers. You know you're going to get a good product out of whoever he's matched up with, for that matter. Samoa Joe's a darn good wrestler.
Yep.
And you know, even John Cena, for that matter, and Kurt Angle, I'm fine with any of those combinations, no problem.
Excellent. So, Mike, speaking of combinations, let's dig a little bit deeper into.
In fact,
the...
I will say this.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Oh,
that could be the match of the night. Boom.
Okay. Next, let's dig a little bit deeper into WWE's pay-per-view event, Mike. It's coming up this Sunday. It's WWE Fastlane.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike, WWE presents Fastlane on Sunday night. I have to think that the new main event for the show is Charlotte versus Becky, and the stipulation is that if Becky wins, she's added to the Raw Women's Championship match at WrestleMania in New York. There's no doubt in my mind that Becky wins this match. She's still got the crutch. She was beaten up on back-to-back nights by Ronda and Charlotte. It's classic stacking the odds against a babyface to overcome. So the question is, how do they get to Becky winning? It has to be some gaga, right? So is it Ronda helping Becky? Is it Stephanie helping Becky? Is it a fluke pin? There are a million finishes to Matt. There are a... Try it in English, James. There are a million finishes to this match. I just don't see Charlotte winning as any of them. So how Becky wins, how good is the match? That's why I'm interested in this match, and that's why I think it's the main event.
Yeah, it's got to be your main event because there's too much on the line to get Becky back into that main event at WrestleMania. And yeah, I think the match is going to be gold. And again, to what we were talking about before, should Becky win, which I think she will, at Fastlane against Charlotte, that's where, you know, here we are right there. Charlotte could pull the curveball and win at WrestleMania right there, because Becky gets back into the match and, you know, then she's the winner there. But I think, yes, Becky will win. And no matter whenever those two do go at it or are in the same ring together, it's always a great, great product. So, you know, I'm really excited to see how they do this. I you know, interference, Ronda Rousey, so many possibilities. But Becky's got to be your clear-cut winner, and she's going to pull it off. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, Becky's going to win. I could see her just getting a beat down from Charlotte the whole way and then coming up with an inside cradle for a win, a roll-up and a hook of the tights for the win, something kind of fluky that will pop the crowd and get Becky into that match, and Charlotte still has her proverbial heat on her.
But then again, maybe, you know, to play devil's advocate here, you have Charlotte win, and then Becky's still trying to earn her stripes here because you do have 3 weeks to go before WrestleMania.
Storyline. I mean, they're selling merch, and we all know that Becky's going to be in it. But eventually, you have to start promoting that all three of them are in this match.
I know, but still, you do
because
have
there are people out there when they put Charlotte in this match, Mike. The internet lost its mind.
Oh, I know. They're furious.
Oh, it's tremendous. I was here for it. I wanted all of their tears. I wanted all of those Melvin tears. Oh, my. Oh.
You're a sick man.
I am a sick man.
and not only because you have a cold.
No, that cough syrup with codeine, man. Let me tell you.
Well, you're cruising right now.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm saying, like, I wouldn't be... I really would not be shocked if you do see Charlotte win this one at Fastlane as well, because Becky is a clear-cut favorite. But, you know, that's the easy insert to have her beat Charlotte at the tail end of it. Maybe interference with help from Ronda or even Stephanie McMahon coming down and, you know, getting that opportunity right there to get her in at the very last second. So that's what I see. Becky winning on Sunday, and then she gets into the main event at WrestleMania. Easy insert. Boom.
The other match on Fastlane that I'm interested in, and not saying that Fastlane isn't going to be a quality show, because I think it will be, is Kevin Owens versus Daniel Bryan. I have a personal love for both of these men. I think they're both tremendous wrestlers and villains, which the WWE didn't seem to mind putting them together, and Kevin Owens is a face, but he's not really a good guy, but he is a good guy, because... Daniel Bryan's trying to save the planet, and he's a bad guy, and I don't like saving the planet is a bad characters. I for one will 100% enjoy this match. I think it'll be quality, or at least it should be quality, because I thought Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles was going to be a fabulous match at the Rumble, and I was wrong, but we'll see. I'm most looking forward to this because I don't think Kevin Owens wins the title, but I think he's a worthy challenger to it.
Worthy challenger, and just for the sake of getting rid of that stupid wooden belt.
Oh, I love the eco-friendly belt.
Oh, come on, Jimmy.
They should be selling it on WWE Shop.
No, please. You know it's going to be gone within a matter. Maybe even this pay-per-view. That's why they're not even selling it. So I'm fine if Kevin Owens does, just to get it off him. You know, he is the forced face in this one, but we do know the true answer, that Kofi Kingston should be in this match. And as, you know, the fans of the product, he got robbed. He really did. And for what he did at the Elimination Chamber against Daniel Bryan at the tail end of it there, putting on a great performance, earning his stripes after 11 years in the company, which they are building up, and being stripped of that opportunity, he should be in this match. So I'm very indifferent to either Daniel Bryan or Kevin Owens here. Probably more in favor of Kevin Owens just to get rid of that stupid, ugly belt. But Kofi Kingston is a guy that deserves to be in this match. We all know that.
So that means you'll rip WWE if they put Kofi Kingston in a WWE championship match against Daniel Bryan.
No, I won't.
Because he should have been in the Fastlane match. So, Mike, you're upset that they flipped out Kevin Owens, who was going to fight Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania for Fastlane, and that Kofi got the promotion to WrestleMania and isn't on Fastlane. You'll rip the WWE for that, right?
I'm going by the storyline aspect that Kofi was supposed to be at Fastlane. Could have won, could have been the champion going into WrestleMania. Who's to say he's not going to be the champion going to WrestleMania? He deserves to be in this match. We know that.
I look forward to your critical commentary on the WWE when they put Kofi in a WrestleMania main event.
I love it. I hope they do. He deserves it. I love Kofi Kingston.
I can't wait to hear you rip WWE for making a mistake by putting Kofi Kingston in the WrestleMania main event, because he should have been in the Fastlane main event.
Well, that may not even be in the main event. That could be like the third to last match. So that's technically not a main event.
Then the WWE Championship match.
There you go.
Which brings us to this. I'm not sure. We assume that Kofi versus Daniel Bryan is going to be the SmackDown WWE Championship match for WrestleMania. But on SmackDown, they had a promo of AJ and Randy Orton talking about main events and the WWE title. And it made me think, a multiple-person match might be the way to go for the WWE Championship. And what the hell? Do a ladder match for it. And if you want to go all the way, have Kofi win the thing in a ladder match, which he has done many of them. And here's how you set it up. It's Daniel Bryan defending against Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, The Miz, Shane McMahon, and Kofi Kingston. You go all the way with Kofi. You have him climb the ladder, win the match, make a statement. And then Kofi can do promos saying he beat all these main event players in one match, in one night at WrestleMania. And then your rematch is you just peel off challengers from that match that gets you through the summer. And, of course, because it's my idea, I think it's a fun idea. I think it's a tremendous idea. And what you've done in 8 weeks is you have made a new star and you have made him the WWE champion.
So I think that's actually not bad at all. And the other thing too, it's good. I like that. And the other thing I would also go with is make that your first match of the night. Your first match of the night. Think about that. WrestleMania, WWE Championship. It's a changing of the tide here because we know that the women's Raw match is going to be your last one of the night. We know that the Universal title, that may even be your last match of the night. It's going to be second to last or whatnot. That's your first match of the night. Get the crowd hot. Make it a ladder match. You get them into it. It's going to be a long show. Boom. Right there.
I'm not opposed to that.
Thank you.
I mean, you should be ripping my idea because it's Kofi in the main in a WrestleMania championship match. But
well,
where he should have been in the Fastlane championship match.
Well, he should be, but I'm
not opposed to a ladder match opening up WrestleMania, even if it is for the WWE championship. They have opened up with championship matches before. Of course, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania in Miami. Mm-hmm. I think they did Jericho versus Edge or Edge versus Del Rio at one of those WrestleManias. So it's not unprecedented.
No, and I think that's if you're going to have that scenario with the ladder match and all those superstars in there, then go for it. Showcase them right away. But the other thing, too, with AJ Styles, maybe I'm reading into this a little too much, and I talked to you about this off the air the other night, is that I just feel like AJ might be on – this might be 1 foot out the door in WWE. And maybe I'm reading into it too much, like I said, because in the Shop Zone, all of his merchandise, it's like 50% off. Everything is – you know, they want to clear it out of there. So maybe this might be his last run at a main event scenario. That's why they stripped him of the – well, didn't strip him of the title. They let him lose to Daniel Bryan back in the fall. And, hey, AJ, good run. First match. See ya. You're out of here. Boom.
And I think that there's a reunion with Anderson and Gallows potentially somewhere.
Yeah.
And if they all hit the market together – and Nakamura hits the market, that would be a big coup for a company like Ring of Honor. They could all go back to New Japan because they're dying for stars in the States.
Right.
I mean, their Madison Square Garden show might be Jay White against Okada.
Wow.
Which is a far cry from Kenny Omega versus Okada, which is what I think they had envisioned for a main event when they sold out the Garden last summer. I think they put tickets on sale.
Yeah, and they also probably thought that Cody Rhodes is going to be in there too.
And the Young Bucks.
Right, and the Young Bucks.
Even though they knew that they weren't under contract then, they felt pretty good about it.
So it's a risky play right there. So
it 100% was. But AJ Styles, Anderson Gallows, Nakamura might be on the market soon.
Not opposed to that.
One other thing that I'm looking forward to at Fastlane mm-hmm. is the last night of the Shield.
Oh, yeah.
So, there was such sarcasm in that. You're so uninterested in that. That's great. Awesome. I love it. So, the only way that I read this is...
Gee, how could it tell?
Ambrose has to turn on Roman, right? And then we get Dean versus Roman at WrestleMania? Because I don't think that they're adding Roman to the Seth Rollins-Brock Lesnar match, right?
No, and you know what I thought...
Or are they going to stick Roman with, like... Bobby Lashley or Drew McIntyre or...
No, please don't. I mean, I just don't think that's... I thought the other night that it was going to be a shoo-in before the... closer to the end of Raw when Roman and, you know, Dean and Seth Rollins had their reunion. So I thought that he would be a shoo-in there because he said to Seth, you know, hey, come on out here, called him out and boom. So I think that just sets up a foreshadow down the line where he and Seth could go at it after Seth does win the Universal title over Brock Lesnar. It's looking more and more like it. Yeah, he and Dean Ambrose. Ambrose turns on him. He's the easy heel, and then Ambrose takes a walk for a little bit. That's how you do it. That's how it is. Piece of cake. And Roman doesn't have to work too much because they know each other pretty well.
Exactly.
You know? Easy match.
Developing opinion, and I'm not there yet. This is still down the hall in take development.
Yep.
I might be cheering for Brock to retain the Universal Championship at WrestleMania.
Are you now? Interesting. Okay. Yeah,
that's still in the workshop down the hall at Take Development. That's three doors down.
It's funny you said that, Jimmy, because I think that he's going to retain. I think he's going to beat Seth Rollins. I really do. And
I just look at it from a realistic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
How does Seth Rollins beat Brock Lesnar? And I understand it's pro wrestling and that,
right,
this, that, and the other thing. But in the mind of Vince McMahon, the Finn Balor Brock Lesnar match should be a template for Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar.
You know how you beat Brock Lesnar? The only way to beat Brock Lesnar is after he goes head to head with someone, has a dogfight of a match, and out of nowhere comes your Money in the Bank winner, ready to cash in right there. That is how you beat the Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar. Otherwise, he is a force. And there's too much on the line. Saudi Arabia, they're going to want him there for that pay-per-view in May. You know that. Okay? And it just, the more I think about that with Brock retaining, then you have Roman and Seth go at it one-on-one to see who the top contender is. Once again, full circle against Brock Lesnar.
And of course, you have the Saudi Arabia factor and the fact that the Prince isn't getting the Rock this time around.
There you go. So
unless there's something to come.
Oh, could. That's the easy way out.
Speaking of Hall of Famers like the Rock, Torrey Wilson has been added to this year's WWE Hall of Fame class. Mike, your initial thought?
So, you know, Torrey, very easy on the eyes. I think of her from her Playboy being in the magazine there. You know, I didn't really think of her too much as a wrestler, but she was a wrestler during that time period where the Divas Championship was starting to get formed. This was right after the Women's Championship with the Trish Stratus and Jackie Ivory era. And then, of course, sandwiched between the Women's Evolution, what we're seeing right now. So kind of a down period, if you will, for the Women's Division of WWE. I wouldn't say she was mainly known for her in-ring work, definitely more of her looks. Good performer, good relationship with Vince. That's why she's in the Hall of Fame, and I have no issue with that. And you know what, Jimmy? I'm fine with showing off my picture and your picture together with a future Hall of Famer, because we met her a couple of years ago.
There was an issue with that?
What?
Did somebody complain about posting a Torrey Wilson picture?
No, I'm just saying it's a nice way to brag. Nice way to brag.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know. So for me, Torrey Wilson is a star, not a great wrestler, but she got eyes on the WWE product. So if there's a celebrity wing in the WWE Hall of Fame, Torrey Wilson can be there. And more specifically, you put the plaque closer to the celebrity wing than you put the wrestler wing of the Hall of Fame. So Torrey Wilson, I'm fine with Hall of Fame. There might be another announcement of a Hall of Famer coming soon. Mike, I'll defer to you. This is your scoop.
That's right. Well, first of all, that wing is in the brain of Vince McMahon. No physical Hall of Fame yet. I think it's going to happen, though, in the next 10 years. But Brutus the Barber Beefcake, it was reported last week by numerous outlets, and I was tipped off last week by a very good friend of Brutus that he and Vince may have mended some fences about he going into the Hall of Fame. It all started after the Brutus the Barber Beefcake patent was expired, and he was able to sign on again with WWE as a legend. And, you know, they had his action figure and so forth out there, and he was doing certain appearances. So it looks like that Brutus was on the table the last 3 years to be a nominee for the Hall of Fame, did not get in, but it looks more and more like that he will get in this year. And the easy way to say who would induct him would be, who do you think?
It should be Hulk Hogan.
But what I've been told is that there are no Hall of Fame presenters this year because they want to expedite the pace of the show. So,
which makes sense. You have Jerry Lawler be the host, and then you just have him toss to the video, and then out comes the Hall of Fame inductee.
Say a few words.
Say a few words, keep it moving, we're good.
And it's on Saturday night now, too. Don't forget, not the Friday night. So time is tight between then and WrestleMania.
Yeah, because they got that whole, they got to switch from the NXT set to the Hall of Fame set and then back to the Raw SmackDown set. And oh, by the way, WrestleMania is in a football stadium. So you got that aspect of it.
Correct.
So that is a nightmare for that production team, and that costs a lot of money with the union legalities, and you know, you have to pay somebody $100 an hour just to stand there and be like, yep, that works, that's okay.
Right. And speaking of nightmares too, Jimmy, this popped up my Twitter earlier today.
Cody Rhodes?
No. Okay. I shouldn't. Sorry. I shouldn't put it that way.
Of course, he's the American Nightmare, Lowball,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. I saw what you did there. You know, last year we had some snow late in the month of March, and I saw someone post on Twitter. They put a picture of MetLife Stadium, and it was a tweet from like late March or whatever. They said, a year and 5 days from now, WrestleMania 35 will be here at MetLife Stadium. Probably about 3 inches of snow all over the stadium. You know that they're not going to start the set 5 days before. They're going to start at least 2 weeks before. So that's the gamble they're having into this here. Could be a nightmare. Hopefully everything is okay, though. Thankfully, the winter's been okay, knock on wood.
Well, they could always shoot something up into the sky and prevent snowfall during WrestleMania.
Oh, that's true, too.
They have those weather control devices.
Especially this late in the season.
At least some conspiracy theorists on this one believe that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of conspiracy theories, Hartford, Connecticut got WWE Money in the Bank for May 19th.
Uh-huh.
The XL Center, which of course is right off Route 84 near the Hartford Airport. Boston didn't get it. I will say that it's interesting that when I last looked at the schedule, so we're recording this on Wednesday night, Hartford has Money in the Bank and Providence, Rhode Island has SmackDown. So maybe there's going to be a show in Boston in between that.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't. Well, let me try and walk you through it. And there's a little bit of a crossover as to why Boston might not get the May 20th Monday Night Raw slot. WWE is finishing their UK tour on the 17th. It's a 9-hour flight from the UK to Hartford. And remember, they're ahead of us. They're right ahead of East Coast time. So the crew, the WWE crew in Stamford, can just drive everything up 84, pay-per-view set, the whole nine yards. And again, this is just a guess. But the TD Garden has to keep May dates open for the NBA and NHL playoffs.
Correct.
So May and June are open. I think there's a concert scheduled like June 26th or something like that. And then as they finish out June, July to mid-August, the Garden has zero events scheduled because they're replacing the lower bowl seats. They're doing all this renovation. So when you go see the Backstreet Boys on August 14th, you'll have nice new comfy seats that happen to be dark because they're changing the color scheme, which, you know, I have my opinions on that. I'm not thrilled about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't explain why anything post August 14th is booked at the TD Garden, but it might make us better understand why Money in the Bank is in Hartford and not in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's more of a home base.
It's disappointing though, because Boston should have a pay-per-view, and they're not on the schedule for it.
Well, you know, a few things. Obviously, the Garden renovation doesn't help. And if you noticed, Extreme Rules, which is now in July, that's at Philadelphia. So I think that could have been a possibility for Boston right there. Maybe even the September show. What is September now? Why am I blanking on that?
Is it Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, maybe Hell in a Cell. Yeah, like they could have had that. Survivor Series at Chicago, we know that.
Would love to go to Chicago.
I haven't ruled that out.
But that's Survivor Series.
Yeah, but so what? Chicago's a cool city, though.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyways, I just think that too much going on with the Bruins and Celtics Sunday, especially to a primetime slot for you know, the Bruins and NBA and NHL for that matter, potentially a Sunday night, and it's too risky, too valuable for Boston to give that day up for a pay-per-view, especially during the heart of the playoff season. So couldn't do it. That's how it is. And the fact that everything, the equation going against them with the renovations, it's just how it is. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Monday Night Raw is here in that day after, like you
May
said,
20th.
Day before. Yeah, day before
May
SmackDown.
May 20th makes so much sense for that.
Or you could have it here before or after SummerSlam, depending when.
Right, because SummerSlam is in Toronto, and they do the whole. They just had their travel packages for Toronto go on sale Tuesday, I think it was.
A couple of days ago, yeah. So, right there. So, that's another possibility, too. But it's too bad. I'm sure it was on the cards. How about NXT TakeOver, though, Money in the Bank?
I think they are doing that in June. Because that's just when they do takeovers.
Okay.
So I didn't see, I don't think that they're doing a takeover before Money in the Bank. I think Money in the Bank was moved to May so that there would be less of a WrestleMania hangover.
Thank you. That's the best thing that they could have done because, you know, this was discussed on our show last year after Backlash, which was a terrible show. And we both made the point that Money in the Bank should have been moved up to help prevent that WrestleMania hangover. And maybe someone is listening from WWE, and thank you for that, because it's the best thing for the fans, because that Backlash pay-per-view last year was atrocious.
People in WWE listen to our podcast.
Okay. Well, there you go. So thank you for listening. Thank you for letting us be the voice of the fan. Good job.
One other thing is maybe Boston ends up getting Evolution 2, because that's not
gonna happen.
Calendar? I don't know. I asked the boss. I asked Stephanie McMahon directly. She has yet to reply to me.
Ah!
But, you know.
Well, she's pretty good about getting back to verified people on Twitter, so.
I know. That's why I asked. I went right to the boss.
Yeah.
I went right to the boss and asked.
Give it a shot.
A friend suggested maybe Boston gets Elimination Chamber next February, which I would be down for.
I'd be down for that. Not sure if they do it, though.
They can get the Birdcage up from Connecticut.
No, they can. Yeah, I could see it.
Because,
yeah,
I mean, Raw's in March. They usually do, depending on shows. I mean, it would work in the timeline.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, WWE just have to work around the schedule of the circus.
Yeah. Oh, Disney on Ice.
Disney on Ice.
Yeah. Circus is, we don't want PETA after us on that one.
Speaking of Connecticut, Mike, you saw at Mohegan Sun Conrad Thompson, Bruce Pritchard, thank you, Bruce, for fixing WWE, and Eric Bischoff last Friday night. What do you got for us from that? What's your book report on this?
So just like you said, thank you, Bruce, for fixing that.
Hashtag thank you, Bruce.
Right, and his response was, did you all see Raw? You're welcome.
Thank you, Bruce.
Wow. Yeah, he kept saying over and over, you're welcome. So great show. I've had interactions with Bruce and Conrad before, like yourself, Jimmy. Great people, really enjoy them. Dave Silva too, but Eric Bischoff, never met him in person. Real nice guy and very easy to approach. Love his show as well, 83 Weeks. I just think he's so checked out on the business where he's like, yeah, whatever, I'll just say whatever and it doesn't matter to him. So I respect that. But I just think that it was a good show because 99% of the show was fan interaction with questions, free form stuff. And it was really, really, you know, hands on, which I liked. There was no set agenda. So good job by Bruce Conrad and Eric Bischoff. You never see them live. Put it on your calendar. Make it happen. Maybe it's WrestleMania weekend. Maybe it's another time they travel. But there was a lot of talk, Jimmy, that may have been the tail end of Bruce on the podcast. It might be it for him. But it sounds like he's still going to be doing this, even under contract with WWE.
Yeah, as far as I know, Bruce and Conrad are still doing the podcast.
Yep.
They are going to fulfill all of the advertised dates.
Okay.
So if you have a ticket for those shows, New York, Australia, StarCast, Bruce and Conrad are doing those shows.
You're
what they do following that is anybody's guess.
Yeah.
But they're still doing the podcast, and they're still selling t-shirts, and Bruce is still calling you if you buy a t-shirt. When he calls you, I don't know. But
so it's funny you said that.
It's still the same thing.
Funny you said that. Some guy made a comment the other night. Hey, Bruce, buy your t-shirt. Someone call me 6 months later.
Nice.
So it was good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
We want to close here with the mention and the sad news that King Kong Bundy passed away. King Kong Bundy main evented WrestleMania 2, drew a lot of money in Texas, was known as the Walking Condominium. Wonderful performer for his size. I got to meet the man once in Wilmington. I have a photo where he's choking me and I'm selling it. And he was just really, in that one quick interaction, really nice. And he was a wonderful performer. And the world lost a wrestler that was very well known to many people at the age of 61.
You know, and it's funny because, ironic, because this week I was going over all of the wrestlers that were going to appear at WrestleCon next month in New York, and King Kong Bundy was right there, and I'm like, holy cow, I got to meet him. I've never met him, and I would have liked to have, and regretfully, that's not going to happen. So here he is, 2 days later, he dies, like, holy cow. So unfortunately, just like anything in life, when your number is called, your number is called. But, you know, he was obviously known for the WrestleMania 2 main event with Hulk Hogan in the steel cage. I remember him very well. You know, it was during that era when I was growing up, when he was part of the million-dollar team or the million-dollar faction there, his feud with The Undertaker at WrestleMania 11. And Taker ended up beating him. That was during that time they were going after the urn. But that's where I remember King Kong Bundy the best during that time there. And it's just a larger-than-life figure, you know, physical specimen of what he is, a huge individual. Everyone like yourself, Jimmy, that had the chance to interact with him had nothing but good things to say about him. And it's been a tough year for the wrestling. Between that, Pedro Morales, Mean Gene Okerlund, we've lost some big giants, no pun intended, in the field of professional wrestling. So rest in peace, King Kong Bundy.
Want to close with some local wrestling events. Chaotic Wrestling has Cold Fury on Friday, March 15th in Haverhill. Tickets at chaoticwrestling.com. Tommaso Ciampa will not be on that show. WWE announced that he's going in for neck surgery. When he comes back, we'll see what they find during the surgery. But,
man,
you know, that seeing Tommaso Ciampa get hurt when he's a main event player, he was just on the main roster, it breaks my cold black heart. It really does.
It stinks. It just, you know, here, you're right. Here's a guy just taking off right now. And, ugh. I mean, we saw what happened to Stone Cold Steve Austin. He put that neck surgery off for a long time. And I just, I really hope that this is not the end of Tommaso Ciampa. I really hope it's not. Hope he gets out of this, recovers, and gets back in the squared circle as soon as possible.
Wish him very well. Evolve Wrestling will be in Melrose Friday, March 15th. Tickets at WWNLive.com. Velveteen Dream will be doing meet and greets. I think he's actually wrestling on the show as well.
Yes.
March 24th at Kowloon, 6 p.m. start time. This is the night before Raw at the TD Garden. Dolph Ziggler will be doing comedy there. You can get your tickets by calling the box office between noontime and 10 p.m. That's 781-484-6002. 781-484-6002. Dolph Ziggler at the Kowloon. You and I will be there.
Yes, sir.
There are a number of other people who will be there who are just as cool as we are.
Yep. And also alongside Dolph is, Tiani. Why am I blanking on her first name? Help me out here.
She'll be selling gimmicks for Dolph.
Okay, good. Beautiful. So it's going to be good on March 24th. Sarah Tiani, excuse me. There you go. And she's a very funny individual. and those two work very well together. So I'm excited to see Sarah.
Just to give you an idea, Dolph was opening the last two times he was at Kowloon. Mm-hmm. Now he's the featured performer.
Look at that. There you go.
And everybody tells me he is awesome. He's really good. And that is not the wrestling fan in me being biased. That is, other people are telling me that his comedy is excellent.
Pumped. Can't wait. Here we go.
Mike, any closing thoughts? Or are you good?
You know what? Fastlane turning out, not that I wasn't looking forward to before, but now I'm really excited to see Charlotte and Becky. And last road to WrestleMania here, Jimmy. Last stop, rather, as we are closing in on less than 30 days away.
Yeah. I so want to do a stupid cliche there, but I'm not going to. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley, at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. Until next week, I'm here to steal the show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.